Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, or, of course, by subscribing to our podcast and iTunes. We're going to get some fishing reports from the area. We'll have Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods check in this week. We'll also hear from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. It sounds like people are going to be ice fishing until about July this year, probably, so we'll talk a little bit more ice fishing. We'll talk about some conditions. There are some warmer temps in the forecast, so maybe, just maybe, we'll see spring before the end of the year. You just never know. We've also got some updates from the field with snow geese, and I want to talk a little bit about what's been in the news the most lately, and that is that's guns. And everybody listening to the show right now probably has guns. They probably have some strong feelings and opinions on guns right now, and you can't go through social media without somebody giving their opinion on gun control or guns. Or we've had shooting events, of course, take place in the country, and I want to talk to a guy who I feel it would be an expert on this subject, and that's Ben Rudrud. He's an instructor from Personal Defense Training LLC. I've taken his permit to carry class. CentralMNPermitToCarry.com is his website. Ben, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you today, Brett?
I'm not bad. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate coming on to talk about some of these things, because I feel like it's important to have somebody to talk to that that knows a thing or two about guns and gun safety and just what's going on in this world today, because there's so much keyboard warriors or Facebook police or whatever. Everybody's an expert when you go on social media, and to have somebody like you that is an expert on the show, I think, is very valuable for us. And it's been pretty crazy lately, Ben.
It has been. Well, I appreciate you having me. I'd love to visit with anything about I can regarding firearms or safety, or we can talk about some of the current events. I guess I'm all yours to try and give you the best answers I can on anything you want to throw at me. I will start to say that there's a lot of wonderful gun owners in our country that are doing things very, very, very well, and I applaud them. We need more good gun owners right now, and that means every one of us can step up to relearn our safety, to go through our safety, you know, procedures, and just continue to do things the very best we can, because that's, like you've learned before in some of my classes, being a good gun owner, it's the most important thing is being safe and responsible. So with that said, I'm all yours. I'd love to visit about anything you want to try and talk about here.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. And it was nice taking your class. And even though I've owned a gun, I've been around guns since I was very, very small. Grew up in a hunting family, so it was kind of brought up the right way. We were always teaching the kids in our family just the proper way to handle firearms. And of course, I took harness certification or firearm safety at age 11. Had to wait until I turned 12 to get my little card in the mail. I went to 4-H, yep. And I was so excited about it. And so I've been just very, very, very anal about gun safety growing up and when I've been out in the field. And it seems like no matter how safe you are, accidents can happen. So it's very, very important just to be as safe as you can. And lately, with everything that's been happening, Ben, with you as involved as you are with firearm safety and firearms training and things like that, have you seen an increase with everything that's happening in the world these days? Have you seen an increase in interest in your classes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I certainly have seen an increase in my class. What I've seen an increase mostly lately is more people that don't have a background with firearms calling me up and saying, hey, I need to start from step one and I want to learn about firearms. They sometimes tell me they never had an opportunity growing up, like maybe you and I, to take firearm safety, or from an adult or a parent or one of them great uncles that said, hey, let's go teach you how to shoot today. A lot of people call me up and they say they're somewhat embarrassed that they've never had that opportunity and they want to learn from the beginning. And honestly, some of them are some of the best students that I have, because they don't want to form an opinion about firearms until they learn about them. So I really respect that. So to answer your question, yeah, I'm certainly fielding a lot of calls lately about people wanting to learn more. Guns are a hot button issue. And that's unfortunate. They don't need to be. I spend a lot of time in my classes talking about firearms and firearm safety and the history of firearms. And one thing that always comes back to me is guns are a tool. And when I say tool, they're a tool just like many other instruments that you and I have at our disposal. And just like any tool out there, it's how we handle them. How do we act around them? What are the choices we're making with them? Because they really are just a tool. And it's so important to learn good safety with firearms. And maybe that's even a refresher if you've been around them for a long time. Every year before deer camp, when me and my buddies get together, we take an hour Friday night before deer season, and we pull out our regulation book, and we read page 3 or page 4 where it's got the rules of firearm safety. And we do it because it's a great reminder on all them things to be safe about. Yeah. So when people call me up, a lot of it is, hey, how can I be more safe with the firearm? I want to learn more about it. My kids are at home. I have a gun. What are things I can do to protect them? So, yes, there has definitely been a larger audience more recently asking more and more questions about firearms and to learn more.
Ben Rudrud, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking gun safety and the current world we live in and the place guns have in it. And I want to talk about some of the specific events that have taken place here recently, another shooting a couple of days ago. But let's talk about that so that safety aspect. And I wanted to ask you, how can people be more safe in hunting-type situations? I mean, there's some basics. Don't point your gun at anything you don't want to shoot at. Always treat your gun as if it's loaded. What are some of the other things that people can do just to make sure they have a safe hunt?
Yeah, that's fantastic. So one thing I'm really proud of is within the state of Minnesota, Minnesota has a really good hunter safety course. And when I say that, I see a lot of young kids that come through our hunter safety course, and they've been taught how to be safe with guns. Now, they might not have all the life experiences that other people have, but the information is fresh with them. The rules for safe gun handling, you know, keeping your firearm pointed in a safe direction, treating all guns as if they were loaded, knowing your surroundings when handling or walking with firearms. And I could go down the list.
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments, yeah. Mm-hmm. In my class, I teach the Ten Commandments. I've actually expanded it, and I teach the 13 rules for gun safety. And everybody could probably add more and more rules. There's probably 100 golden rules. There's probably 100 gun commandments, for that matter. But when we talk about safety just for hunting, you know, number one, you can start to have a conversation before you go in the woods or the field. Sit down with your buddies, your dear friends, your family, and talk about gun safety. Use the rules that are in that book that's free that you can pick up at every gas station across our wonderful state. And go through the rules. Talk about them. Talk about experiences. Talk about things that have happened. Talk about what you've learned from. Always treating the gun as if it were loaded is one of the most important things, of course. And that is, you know, if you go home today and you take a gun out of your gun vault that you haven't looked at or seen in a year, the first thing you do is you check to make sure it's empty, even if you put it away a year ago.
Yeah. And to expand on that, Ben, I don't want to interrupt you, but
yeah.
You hear stories about people who take their guns out to clean them and they accidentally discharge. I don't understand why somebody would store, especially if it's a, you know, a rifle or something like that, why you would store it and put it away in your safe loaded.
Yeah.
Now, I get it if they want to have a gun for self-defense and like, well, an unloaded gun is useless to me or whatever excuse they give at that point. But it's pretty easy to, some guns anyway, pretty easy to load up. But especially if you're going to clean it, I don't understand where the mindset comes from that you wouldn't unload it first or see if it's loaded first.
Yeah, so in that situation, there's a rule that I talk about, and it is number one, always check to make indeed sure that the firearm is empty. Treat all guns as if they were loaded until you know otherwise. So if you're going to be manipulating your firearm or handling your firearm, the first thing you do is you make sure it is indeed empty. That's the first thing you do. A empty firearm that you indeed know is completely empty can never go boom on accident. And I say them exact words in my class.
Sure.
A gun that I know indeed is empty. I've checked it. I've checked it, and I've had my friend Brett check it. If I indeed know it's empty, I cannot have an accident.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's the first thing in your class. Whenever we would walk up to handle a firearm, what was the first thing you would make us do?
Exactly. I always check that firearms are empty.
That's right.
You know, I use the analogy of if I'm deer hunting with my good buddy, Brett, and we walk up to a barbed wire fence, and I say, "Hey, Brett, I'm going to empty my gun out so I can safely cross the fence." And you say, "You bet, no problem." And you visually watch me empty my firearm, and I'm doing everything correctly. I'm keeping it pointed in a safe direction, and I empty it out, and then I say it's empty. And then I hand it to you so I can safely cross the fence, and you can hand it back to me. The first thing you do when I hand you that gun is what?
Check to see if it's loaded.
Always check to see if it's empty. You never take my word for it. You always check also. And that's one example of, you know, one of them commandments or one of them rules is just knowing that it is indeed empty.
Sure.
Another rule could be, you know, if you're firing your gun and we're target practicing, for example, and the gun was supposed to go boom and it didn't, and maybe you have a malfunction. Well, the rule says keep the gun pointed in a safe direction, wait a predetermined amount of time, and then carefully unload it or cycle the round out. And that means is there's a lot of accidents that happen when people, when they're hunting, when they've shot at something and it did not go boom, and then they start, you know, looking or waving the gun around and pointing it in a location which they shouldn't, and then maybe the gun goes boom after a few seconds. It's called the hang fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one that's a great rule for, you know, to be safe with when you're hunting.
Sure.
Or you could look at just the handling of a firearm in general. I talk in my class a lot about how we handle guns. And the thing that I teach is always make sure your finger is up on the frame of a firearm until it's time to shoot. Your finger is never on the trigger until it's time to shoot. And it's such a big rule because I'll bet you, and I'll put you on the spot on your radio show, how many times have you seen people pick a gun up and they think that their finger rests on the trigger?
All the time. And to add on to that, Ben, all the time. And, you know, a lot of times we're in layout blinds when we're waterfowl hunting. And you know, I'm guiding, so I'll kind of be leading the group a little bit. And we'll have a flock of birds start to set and come into the decoys. And be like, all right, guys, get ready. You know, I try to communicate with them as much as possible. They're going to make one more pass, and I'm going to call the shot when they get close. So just get ready. And all of a sudden, I'll start hearing click, 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 click. Guys will be clicking safeties off. And be like, hey, guys, safety's on.
Yep.
And safety doesn't come off until that gun is either up at your shoulder or sometimes, you know, right before you get to your shoulder. Right before you're ready to shoot, that's when you take that safety off. And I hear it all the time. Guys will rest their finger on their trigger, or they'll click that safety off before they put the gun up. And, my gosh, pulling that, sometimes coming out of that blind, it can get a little complicated, and if your safety is off, it's just a way for accidents to happen. So Ben Rudrud, our guest, we got to take a quick break Ben, but I want to come back. I want to talk more gun safety, and I want to talk about some of the specific events and your opinion on them, like, you know, how can we make schools safer, for example? What's your opinion on that? Armed guards, armed teachers, armed whatever, more safety, more education, what's the answer? More with Ben Rudrud coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio, plus Leg of the Woods update. And we'll hear from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department as well.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Waterfowl hunters.
If you haven't experienced the heart-pounding excitement of the spring snow goose season,
you haven't seen the most thrilling waterfowl action possible.
Take that plug out of your gun and chase snows with Mid-Migration Outfitters.
Plus, you'll get to see the spring waterfowl migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more.
That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com. The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Also online at sportingjournalradio.com and by subscribing to our podcast in iTunes. Firearm safety instructor Ben Rudrud, our guest. He's from Personal Defense Training, LLC. His website is centralmnpermitscarry.com. I've taken his class, and I know we talk about this every time I have you on the show, but in Minnesota, it's not conceal and carry, despite a lot of people calling a conceal and carry. It's permit to carry, right, Ben?
Yeah, that's a good question, Brett. In Minnesota, it's called permit to carry. You might see people carrying it on their hip in the open. Technically, they can do that. I do teach the method of always keeping it concealed. I think it creates far less,
drama.
Far less attention, drama. So I do teach keep it concealed at all times, keep it super secure in a wonderful secured holster. But yes, we are a permit to carry state, which is in the open, or hidden, which is concealed.
Well, and you don't need to show off that you got a gun. I mean, you're kind of a proponent of, hey, if you want to have a gun, great, but you don't need to broadcast it.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I support good gun ownership, and I just think there are far more pros to keeping a gun hidden on you that you are legally allowed to carry than ever keeping it in the open. I have the analogy in my class. You know, it only takes one phone call from someone to say the wrong thing about your gun if they see it on your hip. And then it's your word against someone else's. Well, that cannot happen if it's hidden and nobody knows you have it other than you. I teach in my class, you know, I'm proud of the fact that we can have a permit to carry in our state and you can carry a firearm, but it doesn't make you any better of a person. It just allows you as a good person to have a gun on you. Heaven forbid you ever needed to protect yourself. And the good gun ownership is still in effect.
Sure.
Making good decisions. You know, you've been through the class.
Well, and what about, first of all, when somebody tells you that assault rifles should be banned, what do you tell them? And what about these guys that are out there saying, I've got 10 ARs, you'll never take them away from me?
Sure. You know, I don't get into much of the debate, especially on social media or online. Actually, I don't get into any of it. And instead, I choose to take the high road, and that is I fundamentally believe in people owning guns that are good people. I fundamentally believe that good people should be able to own guns, and that is our right. But with our right, I firmly believe, comes huge responsibilities, and that is learn to be safe with your gun, whatever it is. I don't care if you got one gun or 10 guns. Learn to be safe with them. Learn to be the very best gun owner you can be. And that means being safe. That means teaching other people how to be safe. That means, using secure devices to keep your firearms in a secured location if they're not in your immediate control, so they're not accessible to children or other unauthorized persons.
Yeah, you're a big proponent of gun storage and safe gun storage in your home or wherever you have your firearms. In fact, it was a bigger part of your class than I was expecting it to be, I learned from it. And granted, I don't have generally a lot of kids that come to my house, but that doesn't mean it couldn't happen or whatever. Yeah. So it's a pretty important rule. But what do you think about? And I know you probably don't want to get into this discussion about it, but when you see the news and you see people calling AR assault rifles, and you see people trying to assign, you know, there was a new bill that was introduced to try to do some stiffer gun control here in Minnesota. What do you think about all of that?
You know, I see it in the news like everyone else, and I really choose to pick and choose, you know, which crazy article I want to read. Some of them get pretty far-fetched. I believe that our firearms will always be a right that we have, but they will only be that way, and this again goes back to safety, is if we teach ourselves to be better gun owners. And that means we have to learn to talk about firearms as tools and not as objects necessarily of violence. And a lot of times guns get a bad rap. And I wish it was the violent person that was discussed more instead of the weapon.
Right.
There's a lot of studies out there on weapons and AR-15s and deer rifles and shotguns with buckshot. And you can, you know, your listeners can go on YouTube and they can look up any firearm and look at the, you know, the damage that it does. But I really think it comes down to some common sense. And that is, it starts when you're young to understand that firearms fire a projectile. And whatever the projectile hits, unfortunately, it destroys. Maybe it's a paper target. Maybe it's a milk jug full of water sitting on a fence post and you're plinking with a .22 with your granddad. Maybe it's a white-tailed deer or a snow goose in early spring and you're hunting. Guns fire a projectile, and whatever it hits, it destroys. And it doesn't matter what the gun is. So I think it's about being mindful that you always have to be safe with firearms and that it's your responsibility to control your firearms and to keep them out of the hands of violent people.
Sure.
Now, will violent people always have access to firearms? Sadly, probably, yeah. But that's where it's up to good gun owners to learn how to be safe to protect themselves and other people.
Ben Rutter. Ben, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, I don't get into the debate about AR-15s or shotguns or anything else. The discussion that I like to have is just understanding that it's not the gun that is the problem, in my opinion. It's the violent person behind them horrible acts. Just like any object out there that's been used in horrible crime, it's the individual behind the horrible thing that happens that is really the thing that needs to be in the conversation.
That's right. A kid taking a baseball bat to a mailbox, you don't blame the baseball bat. That's Ben Rudrud, our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio. Ben, we got to take another break, but I do want to ask you a few more questions. I want to talk about schools and some other gun safety talk coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio.
See the spring waterfowl migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio, heard on the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com and subscribable in iTunes. I'm Brett Amundson, our guest, firearm instructor Ben Rudrud from Personal Defense Training, LLC. We're talking gun safety and proper firearm handling. And, you know, Ben, we talked about your permit to carry class a little bit, but you also teach some personal defense classes. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. I teach some personal defense training. I also teach some violent intruder training to businesses, churches, and school districts, and some threat assessment training as well.
All right. So when it comes to, like, personal defense, somebody says, hey, I want to protect myself Do you automatically say, you know, a firearm is the way to go? Or if people say, hey, I want to learn properly how to defend myself with a firearm, you're the guy to talk to, right?
Yeah. So sometimes people want to learn how to protect themselves better, and they want nothing to do with learning about firearms. And I respect that. So I teach them some other areas that they can protect themselves. So those questions do come up.
And for people that, we were just talking a little bit off the air, for people that want to protect themselves and you know, they're in a dangerous situation, who do they call?
Well, they generally call law enforcement, right?
That's right. And law enforcement is going to show up with what?
Law enforcement shows up with multiple tools on their belt, and one of their tools, obviously, is a firearm, because, you know, the world we live in, unfortunately, there is gun violence out there.
So do you think right now there's more gun violence happening, or do you think it's getting publicized more?
I definitely think it's publicized more. If you look at some trends in violence, it's difficult to disseminate whether the violence is growing or not, and that's the truth. There is this thing called social media nowadays, where if something happens, everybody knows about it.
Instantly.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Instantly. You know, when you and I grew up, 80s and 90s, you know, 80s and 90s, if you didn't watch the 6 o'clock news, you didn't find out about something that happened.
Yeah,
so you might have been a little bit more benign to knowing about a current event, if you will. But social media, it turns everybody, for lack of a word, into a news reporter, because they're sharing and spreading it too.
Yeah.
You know? And I say that with some comedy, but
it's true.
Yeah, you have to be very careful what you're reading on social media. But
I always joke that with Facebook Live, everybody has their own TV show now. When it comes to schools, and that's the big one now, all these kids are protesting because they want more gun control laws to stop the school shootings. And I just, we see that gun control laws aren't working in some of the areas that have the strictest gun control laws, Chicago or whatever. Now there's a Chicago suburb that's trying to ban certain semi-automatic weapons in your home. And if you have them in your home, they're going to fine you $1,000 a day, or that's what they're trying to get past right now, which so let's talk schools. What, being somebody that knows a thing or two about this, what do you think the right answer down the road is for safer schools for us?
Wow. This is the question certainly of our lifetime right now with firearms and safety. It's all coming back to schools, and that saddens me. To some regard, that it's gotten to the point where, you know, people are using firearms to attack schools. But I believe it starts with understanding it's not a gun problem. And I'm going to say it completely honestly, it's a people problem.
For sure.
Things have changed so much from when I grew up, or even we're probably the same age, Brett, I think. And things have changed so much. It's hard knowing that you have to send your kid to a school and these things are happening in other districts. I think it's important to point out that the schools are really taking initiatives to make their buildings more and more secure. It started with securing their entrances. It started with developing safety plans and crisis committee planning and threat assessments. And schools are also committing resources, to safety training for all their teachers. What to pick up on, behaviors, patterns of violent internal and external threats. So these are all things they're studying, because obviously there is a problem with it. And some of these things are things you and I would have never, ever thought about growing up.
Right. Well, you know, we hunted before or after school, so half the time we had guns in our trucks, you know, in the school parking lot, and that's changed. But so do you think, you know, the idea of arming teachers has been floated around? I like, you know, some schools have school resource officers, of course, but when you look at big public events where there's going to be a lot of people at, you always see armed law enforcement there. Why wouldn't we put some armed law enforcement in our schools?
I think you're going to see in a matter of months that ultimately I think you'll see a school resource officer in every school. And I think it's a great thing because the school resource officer obviously is there to help protect students. God forbid something bad happens. But the school resource officer can also be reading to kids in the hallway. The school resource officer can be eating lunch at a different table every day, making friendships with kids. The school resource officer can be planning safety things, but can also be there to help, to talk to students who got problems going on at home and just need someone to talk to.
Sure.
It starts with building relationships, and certainly mental health is something that's being talked about very heavily in the news. But I think schools are trying their very best to combat this. And this is something that's being thrown at them. And this is a problem that, you know, we shouldn't have to be dealing with.
Yeah.
But unfortunately it is happening. So there's a whole area of things that they can do better, and they are truly working on to do better. Threat assessments is a big thing you're seeing in the news right now. And threat assessments are doing specific assessments on schools, businesses, churches to define areas of threats to fix that and prevent it before it ever happens.
Yeah.
There's a lot of training on response or reactive training to violent intruders, and it's wonderful that it's being looked at as a preventative thing now also.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. It's a people problem, and it's not the tool being used. And in some cases, of course, that tool is a firearm. You know, and on the flip side, Ben, the High School Clay Target League just announced that there's almost 22,000 high school kids participating in the Spring League this year. And 20 states in the country now have high school kids and shooting sports programs with zero accidents, Ben. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you know what's really amazing is that is a high school sport.
Yeah.
That a wonderful kid, boy or girl, can go out for, can represent their school, can work hard academically so they can stay in the extracurricular activity as trap shooting or league clay pigeon target shooting. And you know what? They can earn a letter at their school.
Yeah, that's great.
But not only that, Brett, they can excel in the sport. They can excel so much in that sport that they could go on and they could do it competitively. They can also learn at that young age to do something that our country represents itself in Olympics.
Sure, for sure.
There's a young lady, I think she's still the national champion. I can't think of her name right now, but you could do a Google search of her and then put it on your website. It'd be a neat article. But I think she's been the champion for like 7, 8, 9 years running. And she's a master at clay pigeon shooting. And she learned at a young age, and she's learned safety, and she's built a respectful following, teaching young kids how to shoot. And it is a sport, just like football is a sport, or baseball, or any of these other things. So
yeah, and it...
It's great.
It's for boys. It's for girls. It's for adaptive students. I just love the fact that you could have, this eighth grade girl up there shooting next to the Jim Sable says it all the time. We could have this 13-year-old girl up there competing against the captain of the football team, and they're on a level play. And sometimes that girl beats that senior captain of the football team too. So I think it's just
a
great
that's
story.
Fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's a sport like anything. There's risks in every sport, but you pointed out that there was no injuries with, the clay pigeon leagues and stuff.
And there you go.
I'm proud of that. Look up the statistics on concussions or basketball injuries, or look up the injuries with a lot of other sports.
Absolutely, and you're talking about high school kids with guns and zero accidents, and that comes down to the proper education, the proper training that is being given to these kids by their instructors. So it's so important, and the fact that you brought up doing refreshers for people that have been handling firearms their whole lives, I think is a great idea, or for people that have never handled them before. If they want to sign up for your class, Ben, what do they need to do?
So if anybody would like to take a class from me, they can call me, 218-640-1752. You can get on Facebook and just type in Ben Rudrud, R-U-D-R-U-D. That's an easy way to get a hold of me.
Ben Rudrud, centralmnpermittocarry.com is the website. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks, Brett.
Waterfowl Hunters. Waterfowl Hunters.
If you haven't experienced the heart-pounding excitement of the spring snow goose season,
you haven't seen the most thrilling waterfowl action possible.
Take that plug out of your gun and chase snows with Mid-Migration Outfitters.
Plus, you'll get to see the spring waterfowl migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods at Giant Walleye Factory in northern Minnesota to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how's it going?
It's going awesome. Thanks, Brett.
One thing we don't really talk about when we talk about Lake of the Woods, I mean, we talk about the Rainy River, we talk about the Northwest Angle, the lake, walleye fishing, and everything, sturgeon, of course, too. And once in a while, we talked about rough grouse hunting up there. But, Joe, one thing that we saw when we were in South Dakota, it was a pretty neat experience. We'd be sitting in the snow goose decoy spread in a sharp tail. This happened three or four times. A sharp tail flew over our snow goose decoy spread when we were laying out there. And it was kind of I always talk about how it's cool to see the Canada geese and all the different species of ducks when you're laying there in the snow goose spread. But we had pheasants and a bunch of sharpies fly over the decoy spread. And that was kind of a first for us this year, Joe.
Yeah, you know what? It's pretty neat. And, you know, I know you bring up the sharpies, and, you know, at the same time right now as we speak, those sharpies are getting ready to do their traditional mating dance. The males have to do their little dance to attract the females. And, you know, it's funny because we actually have three species of grouse up in Lake of the Woods County. We have, you mentioned rough, we got the spruce grouse, and we also have sharpies. And, you know this, Brett, but for the listeners, you know, sharp-tailed grouse, they're really like relating to agricultural land that butts up against woods. And the ag land is important. And, you know, we have 40,000 acres of agriculture land up in Lake of the Woods County. And we have a good number of sharp-tailed grouse. And the Minnesota DNR out of Bedette actually sets up blinds.
Oh,
so
really?
So that the public can come and observe the dance of the sharp-tailed grouse when they're doing their mating. They have the blinds set up, and what you would do is work through them to reserve a blind and then get out there before daybreak and, sit back in that blind. And once the sun hits the trees, the show goes on. And it's really kind of a neat experience up there.
Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't realize you had blinds. I'm learning more and more about sharpies in Minnesota every day, it seems like. And that's really cool that there's a population up there. And rough grouse gets all the attention, but sharp tails and their closely related cousin, the prairie chicken, they're such neat birds. And this dance that they do on the lek, it's one of the coolest things that I've seen, is sitting in one of those viewing blinds and watching them on a lek doing their mating dance, their mating ritual here in the spring. And that's pretty neat. I didn't realize you had viewing. And when you can go sit in a comfortable viewing blind too and watch these birds do the dance at close distance, seems like they kind of get used to the blinds there. They kind of know that there are people there, but they're not threatened by them, and they're so focused on attracting females that they'll do their dance while you sit pretty close to them.
Well, and I think you take a lot for granted, because you say a lek, and I don't know that our listeners know what a lek is.
Oh, it's the booming grounds or the breeding ground. So it's a piece of short grass. The size varies on it generally, but it's an area of short grass that these males will return to, and the females return to it too, year after year after year. They talk about some of these leks or booming grounds or breeding grounds or these areas of short grass. They talk about some of them going back many, many years, and just every generation of sharptail or prairie chicken too, in some cases, come back to this short grass. And they do in the short grass, I think, because they're kind of a short grass species, but they also like to display. And they need that short grass so that the females can watch them display in those booming grounds. That area is known as a lek. It's L-E-K. And so they'll set up viewing blinds on the edge of these leks, and you get out there early and you can watch the birds come in and put on a show for you.
Yeah, it's really neat. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, we talk about the change of seasons in Minnesota and certainly at the Lake of the Woods. And, you know, I was driving out amongst some big fields here recently. And, you know, you get the snow starting to go away from these big fields. And I'm when I tell you that there's 50 to 75 deer in a field after field after field, I'm not exaggerating. It's unbelievable. And there must be, you know, leftover food and crop and stuff in those fields that they didn't have access to during the winter, because I tell you, they're out there in droves.
For sure. Well, I want to come up there. I want to watch sharpies, maybe go deer hunting, it sounds like. Of course, there's a lot of Canada geese up there, but everybody's focused on the rainy right now. Joe Henry joining us here on Sporting Journal Radio, and I'm assuming more and more of the river's opening up, Joe.
It is, yeah. It's moving west every single day. Now, I'll tell you this, the progress of open water hasn't been great just because we've had pretty chilly temps. But, you know, so far, you know, we get two boat ramps that are open. We got Birchdale and we got Frontier. You know, the Birchdale axis is approximately 26 miles east of Bidette, and Frontier is probably, well, I'm guessing 17. But, you know, those two ramps are open, and there's a lot of open water to fish. And people are catching fish. People are catching a lot of walleyes. People are catching nice walleyes. You know, there hasn't been any runoff, so the water is still clean. And people are hard at it. And, you know, most people are jigging, Brett. You know that, you know, this time of year, people are using jigs and, you know, minnows and jigs and frozen shiners, emerald shiners. And there's also a portion of people that are using jigs that make a little noise. So in some cases, people use, you know, Tom's Tackle has some jigs that make noise and get that stuff up there, Bidette. Otherwise, the Whistler jig from Northland that has a propeller on it. And then what they'll do is they'll put a great big plastic on there, you know, like a bee fishing, and they got the ribs on them. They got either a twister tail or a paddle tail. And it's amazing, those big walleyes, how you can take that jig, usually a pretty good size lead head because you get a lot of current moving. And you can just drag that along the bottom, and how those big walleyes will suck that up off the sand. And it's almost like a darn bass worm, like that you use for bass fishing. That's how big those darn plastics are. But I'll tell you, those walleyes just love them.
I know from a tourism standpoint, it's not always ideal when the river isn't open more and you want to have more access and more people to come up there and fish. But I'll tell you what, Joe, there's something about going up there this time of year and having conditions be a little bit colder and snow on the banks of the river. And, you know, you're watching out for ice chunks. To me, it's a little bit more of an adventure. And boy, when you catch fish in conditions like that, it just seems a lot more satisfying.
Well, you know, I think you're right. And it is tradition, and it also eliminates the wuss.
That's right.
I mean, you're not going to have too many wusses out. And, you know, when it's 10 degrees out and snowing and, you know, a little nippy out, that's ice fish the weather when you're in a boat. So, yeah, you better dress warm, put it that way.
That's right. And I'm sure people are ice fishing up there still, too.
They sure are. There's a lot of ice left. You know, some of our resorts have pulled off just because, you know, the fish houses had to be up the 31st of March. But there's still still resorts that are allowing people to go out fishing on their roads and stuff. And I think, you know, if I remember correctly, Arneson's Rocky Point will even pull a house out for you, because they're fishing pretty close to shore. They'll pull it out and then pull it back in with their track rigs each day. So, you know, there's still fishing to be had if you want to get up there and ice fish. And, you know, people are still targeting walleyes and saugers. The season's open until April 14th. But, you know, the other species people are really targeting right now are those pike. You know, this time of year, fishing with tip-ups through the ice, those pike, they don't school. But they end up getting congregated because they're in the pre-spawn areas together. And they're getting ready to go do their deal. And, you know, it's funny because of the colder weather this year, there's been a lot of big pike taken on top of reefs that are still a little bit offshore. But now those fish are finally starting to move to the pre-spawn areas near shore, and it's game on. You know, we've been catching a lot of pike the last month, and a lot of big pike. I mean, I'm talking 40 to 40, 45-inch pike, and that's a 20 pound plus pike. It's a big one.
Joe, I've talked to a few people that have gone up there ice fishing, and yeah, they talk about there being a lot of ice. There was a couple of comments made about some of the accesses are deteriorating a little bit because of the salt and things like that. What are you hearing about the accesses up there?
You know, I think you need to call ahead. You know, I think, I don't know that Adrian's is still going. That's going over 4 Mile Bay, and that's one that gets a lot of traffic. But I think that last time I heard, I thought Morris Point might be open to ATV traffic and snowmobile traffic. You'd have to call ahead. I believe, I think Zipple's probably shut down. I think that Dale's is opened up. I think you can go to Dale's, which is close to Rocky Point. And I think Long Point may be open as well. But again, I always say call ahead and figure out what the scoop is. And,
sure.
You know, I also say work through a resort or an outfitter who's monitoring their road. I think it's really important this time of year, any time of year, because not only do they know exactly what's going on with the ice, but, you know, if there's a crack or an ice upheaval, either they're going to bridge it or they're going to route you around it. And they're checking that road daily.
For sure. All right, Joe Henry, if people want to come up there maybe for a Rainy River trip or start planning a summer trip to Lake of the Woods, where can they find out more information?
Yeah, check out our Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page or check out our website. And that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Thank you, Joe. Now we're going to check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department.
The 2018 North Dakota gratis deer application period is now open. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. North Dakota landowners who are interested in applying for a 2018 deer gratis license can complete their application online at the State Game and Fish Department website, gf.nd.gov. This is for gratis applications only at this time, as the general deer lottery and muzzleloader application period, which also be online only, will open in early May. The deadline for applying for all gratis and lottery licenses is June 6th. Chief of Administrative Services Kim Carey said the Game and Fish Department decided to open the deer gratis application period a month earlier than in past years to provide additional time for landowners to get accustomed to the new online-only licensing system. Online applications is part of the plan that was initiated by the state legislature in 2015, which required Game and Fish to develop an all-electronic licensing system that went into effect 2 years ago. Gratis applicants who have previously applied online or by paper will already have their land description entered into the system. Applicants will be able to copy the land description from the previous year into this year's application. Landowners will still need to bring up their land description and add the number of acres for each tract. In addition, any changes to land description from the previous year will have to be made. Carey suggests landowners who do not have access to a computer should contact a friend, relative, or neighbor who does, or find a public service location, such as a public library, or stop at a Game and Fish office. The electronic system at vendors that sell other hunting and fishing licenses is not set up to handle lottery gratis applications. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.